The party nerds in the building.
Yeah. We are here.
And when I say building, I mean Wildfire's new building, which is very nice.
Yeah, they hooked it up really, really well around here. It's all fancy and office-like and everything.
And like, I feel like, you know, I feel like we've moved up. We're a little, Taylor, should we have worn suits now?
All right, so I'm dressed for the occasion. I don't know about you guys.
You are quite corporate today. What's going on with you, Babs?
I have a new client in New Jersey, and they're very special. I had to look all snazzy for them.
So when you say client, like, what, do you do their taxes?
something like that. Okay. I mean, would you trust me to do your taxes?
I would dress like that, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're 100% professional right now, you know? But, guys, party nerds are in the building. We, 2 weeks ago, is it 2 weeks now?
About a week and a half, give or take.
So we get a little bit of change.
What?
A little bit of change.
A little change.
A little change.
So we went to New York Comic Con, and we touched on this a little before, but we really wanted to, for this podcast, go into our experience because there's a lot of different perspectives. We were there deep this year.
Yeah.
Like,
squad deep.
First of all, shout out to my buddy Mike Beretta for giving us Eagle limousines, drove us. Like, we went there like ballers pimping.
Mm-hmm. Sipping on that Smirnoff Ice.
Hey, sipping on the Smirnoff Ice.
I felt like a real celebrity when I went.
Right?
I felt like a real celebrity.
And then Babs was in there just painting her face the whole ride. We're all there sipping champagne, and she's like painting herself.
Yeah, I feel like an idiot because when we were discussing getting up there, I said, hey, get ready for an annoying morning person. Anyone who knows me knows that I get up ridiculously early. I like to work out. I like to be that morning person. That's just who I am. You all put me to shame. Not only did you look like normal human beings, you were at like 11 out of 10 level of excitement and energy, and I wanted to die. It was not good.
Well, first of all, you were painting yourself as Venom, so I thought we could have easily died, you know, because you were starting to paint yourself look like the evil symbiote, so that right. was a little crazy.
Well, I think what I was trying to do is show you how disgusting I look as a normal human being and the power of magic and its transformative powers. Yeah.
So you saw AKA cosplay.
Yes.
You went from like 6 a.m. TMZ, like, why are these cameras all over me? You were like, face all covered and everything. I didn't want to see nothing. And all of a sudden, celebrity.
Yeah, right. So superstar. And just real quick before we get into it, you know, we kind of got the skeleton crew tonight, you know, but we'll all be back in action very soon. We got my boy, your boy, our boy, Eddie.
What's going on, man?
What's going on, Ed?
Yo, Comic-Con was great, man. It was my gamer's heaven when I went. It was so good. Like, just games, everything that I wanted to play and see coming up soon, I was able to see there and actually get my hands on it. But every year, Comic-Con always tops itself, I think. So this year was, like, no different. And also, being a member of the press, it was a very different experience than I would go previous years. Just being able to have all this access, but also just enjoy the show floor in such a different way, I think.
Absolutely. And I'm going to talk to you more about that, too, especially about the gaming panels that you and AJ did. But my brother's sitting across from me. What up, boy?
Yo, Kingdom Hearts 3, baby.
Yo, did you literally beat a level in that, right?
It wasn't a full level, but like I beat the demo section of two different levels. But it was lit. I'm all about it. Yeah.
I was going to do it, but I get so OCD when it comes to gaming. Like, I would be pissed if, like, I'm gaming, they're like, all right, you got to leave. I'd be like, no. Then security would come and kick me out because I want to finish playing this game.
They literally told you to skip all of the cutscenes because you had a 15-minute time window.
Screw that!
And the cutscenes
were
7 minutes long.
You need the cutscenes. It's the story. We need that.
You can check out the story online of the cutscenes. You have 15 minutes to play the game. I spent all 15 minutes playing the game. And it was worth it. I loved it. It was great.
Absolutely.
10 out of 10.
Okay. Well, when it comes out, my life, literally, guys, you will not be able to find me. I will be nowhere because I will be locked in my room until I beat that damn game.
I literally have a 9-day vacation plan. Like, the 2 days before Kingdom Hearts comes out, 7 days afterwards, and then 1 day to recover and come back to reality. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
You're being strategic.
Yeah, I'm smart with it.
That's smart.
It's that advance.
Hicks planning. It's that smart gene. We got Babs the Butcher.
Here I am.
What up, Babs? Corporate Babs.
Yes, corporate today, party in the nighttime, right?
And by the way, when you, if you guys Google or anybody, if you do a search on New York Comic Con cosplay, she's probably going to be one of the top ones to pop up. You're I'm seeing your Colossus everywhere. It's on random pages. It's just popping up all over, even more than the Wasp, honestly. And your Wasp, like, you look just like Evangeline Lilly. So I'm seeing, you know, Colossus all over the place.
You know, that just makes me so happy because I've seen so many cosplay lookalikes, and, you know, more power to them. They just keep on improving on that one cosplay until it's perfect and they're completely that celebrity or that character. The fact that people love classic X-Men so much that right. even though it's, you know, there's nothing happening with classic X-Men right now, and, you know, it's just nostalgia. It's so powerful to people. And not only that, they see a woman doing a traditionally man's role and they say, hell yeah, mm-hmm. I love that. That just restores my faith in humanity and also makes me think, okay, I'm not a one-hit wonder. I well, can
you
know, do more
and
than
all
that.
The love that you got for the cosplays as well. Like Kotaku, you mentioned, just popped up this morning. IGN was a big one as well.
Sci-Fi
there were a couple
Wire.
Other Sci-Fi Wire as well. There were so many publications that like were also big fans of the X-Men as well that spotlighted your Colossus and also the other people that were with you. You also got the shout out on the Marvel stage as well mm-hmm. when you did went up with the X-Force.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the cosplay community shows time and time again, despite where, you know, things can get really negative or clicky or, you know, whatever.
Right.
They shine through with positivity. And I mean, that's just been my experience so far. Knock on wood, that continues to be my experience.
So I have to ask, what's the next X-Men cosplay you're going to do, and why is it Storm?
now, Bravo!
There's no way I could do
Yo,
that.
Yo, you would kill Storm.
Storm? No
Absolutely.
Way. That would be so irreverent. You know, as a white woman, I bow down.
Oh, we're going
to
fight on this one because
why?
No, because you can. Bottom line is there as a white woman, if you did Storm mm-hmm. and you carried yourself, it's not about that. So it's almost like double standards. You know what I mean? Like, so you can have a brother dress up as Goku, and I saw a bunch of Brokus. I saw like Gokus
saw
everywhere.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
People were like, you can't do that. Like, I would be, if someone told me you can't be Goku, you're black, I'd be like, yo, mm-hmm. screw you, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think just the opposite, you know, and obviously it's just you're doing it out of respect. We're going to go into that.
Okay.
You have to be very careful with the makeup.
All right, AJ, will you help me with this if you want me to be Storm?
I mean, I'm not sure.
As long as you help him with Static Shock.
See, there we go.
Deal.
Done deal.
We got it.
All right.
Ooh,
so
fist pound.
Listen, so one aspect of the con I wanted to get into, because every year the con has like a big focus. DC had a big, big stage this year. Marvel didn't, you know, they had the Into the Spider-Verse, which we're going to get into. But DC, they actually had Zachariah Levi. Levi, how do you say his name?
I think it's Levi.
Zach Levi, I think
Levi.
It is.
Oh, is it Levi?
Okay.
I think it's Levi.
All right, so, and yeah, because he's always wearing those jeans. I shouldn't. Levi, okay.
Okay.
Bad joke. Thank you very much.
Right.
Waka waka.
You can leave now.
Okay. Anyway, so he actually, and I think James went to the panel. He was talking to the audience, and supposedly at New York Comic Con, his panel was awesome. He was so real, down to earth, and people that were there actually, they ended up liking him, more excited about the movie. Did you hear anything about that?
According to Grandmaster Fax, he basically put it out there that it was more like stand-up, if you will. Like, it was just kind of him for an hour, just talking to the crowd about his experiences from Chuck, all the way up to doing Shazam. And it just felt like a guy who really just was passionate about, you know, trying to take the role of Shazam, Billy Batson, seriously and actually perform the character really well and have fun with the character. And I know that kind of shows through in the trailers as mm-hmm. well. Like, you see that they're trying to make it kind of like lighthearted. They're right. Like, they're trying to turn it around. You know, Aquaman's trying to turn it around. Shazam, they're trying to turn around this like perception of how the DCEU works.
They're trying to shake the whole Zack Snyder image of darkness and gloom.
I mean, and it's even beyond that, like, you know, Batman is a dark superhero. It makes sense for that mood to be dark. Even Batman versus Superman, that made kind of sense to be dark. It didn't make sense for, like, Superman to be all moody and gloomy all of the time.
Right.
Like, I'm sure there are some, like, dark Superman stories out there. But if you're going to have, like, you know, one Superman movie every, like, 5 years in the DCU. You don't want to make that one thing like super dark and like not really true to like the typical representation of the character. You can do something different, but if you're going to do something different, you also have to do it well, which I mean, he didn't. So,
well, and it's funny you said that because like a lot of the marketing for Shazam and Aquaman is it actually started off darker, but literally out of nowhere, it's like someone went to the marketing team's like, let's lighten this all up. And all of a sudden you have the Aquaman's brighter.
Yeah.
Shazam is brighter, you know, and I mean, you know, one of our posts is, you know, up right now, you know, we were talking like what release are you excited about? And by the way, if you guys are listening, our lines will be open shortly, 856-457-8660. Call us and let us know what you're most excited about. But again, for the DC Universe, maybe this is the right thing, because think about comic books. Comic books, you want to escape all the dark bullshit of this world. Like there's if you look at your Facebook, it's just like drama, sadness, crap, politics. So when you go to the movies, you want to escape it. And a lot of times when you think escape, you don't want to go into another gloomy universe. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to go into, I mean, as much as people want to talk about Infinity War, it was dark, but it wasn't dark. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't gloomy. It had a dark nature as far as the story, but the colors were still lighter. Like when they were in Wakanda, it was still bright outside. It wasn't a dark, like literally like with Zack Snyder's movies, there's like a mist takes over.
With the Avengers movies, you have this overarching storyline where all these universes convene into one specific storyline with Thanos. And of course, all the directors and everybody in Marvel said, prepare for tragedy, because not every superhero story ends with good things.
Right,
so
right.
That's kind of like they took it the right way instead of starting it off that way. You kind of had to start off with the superhero tropes. But then, of course, when Infinity War dropped, it turned it right on its head.
Right.
So you had to kind of transition into it instead of making it the focal point like DC did.
It took the characters we know and love over the past 10 years and then just put them in the worst situation possible. So it made sense when Infinity Wars got dark, because it was supposed to be like peak conflict in terms of the overall cinematic universe.
Right.
So, like, you know, Spider-Man was still like telling quips and everything like that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, you know, he died.
You know what? And I could break this down from like a musical perspective. Babs, you guys know, like, I have like an acapella group. We do our nerdy singing, mm-hmm. and we got a big project coming up, so we will be getting more into that. But a lot of times when you're singing, anyone, if you start a song belting, stuff like that, there's nothing to look forward to. If you started like low, when you sing you need to start here, you need to build it up, you know. Even like you look at the national anthem, oh say, and then you get in the Rockets. So in other words, my comparison is the thank you, but just like in movies, it needs to be that same like flow, that same symphony where it starts here. So like you'll have one movie like, oh, Ant-Man and the Wasp, well, that's like, you know, then all of a sudden you're getting a movie that hits you a little hard, like, oh, Marvel, Captain Marvel. Okay, wow, you guys already took me back after Infinity War. So I think you need that back and forth to create a good just story.
Dynamic. That's the word.
Thank you. Exactly. You need that good dynamic.
Can I say a point? Excuse me. What is that called? Devil's advocate.
Yeah.
I don't know that I actually feel this, but what if the lightning of the movies is to distract. You know how you everyone's eye always goes to the lightest thing. So if somebody puts turns on their phone in a movie theater, your eye goes to mm-hmm. it. Maybe they're applying that to the actual movie. If it's dark, then you're focusing on the dialogue. You're focusing on all these other things. But if it's light and flashy, maybe you're not focusing on how bad the dialogue is or how many plot holes there are. You're just distracted by the lights and how bright it is.
So in this case, with a movie like this, the equivalent would be the CG, like the CG powers and mm-hmm. stuff like that, where you're mm-hmm. like, whoa, look at that over there. And then mm-hmm. over here, you see like some random dude dying. That's mm-hmm. very pertinent to the plot point. Mm-hmm. But he just dies randomly, for example.
And you're not questioning it because you're looking at that really impressive, flashy CGI or even just the brighter colors. You're just a little bit more distracted in each screen.
Okay, I can't disagree with that. But again, why are you going to the movies? Are you going to the movies just to like study the screen? Be like, oh, that was a good dialogue. Oh, yeah, that phrase was so nice. You're going to movie to be entertained, especially superhero movies.
That's in theory. But fanboys, fan people, mm-hmm. They're going there to be like, all right, let's find those plot holes and let's find that crappy dialogue.
Right.
And I'm going to write down every single thing I'm angry about and say how trash this movie was.
Right. But Babs, like in the life you live, is your whole day just like this doom and gloom, or is it, do you have peak, somebody tells a joke, oh, that was funny, and then all of a sudden you get bad news? Like that's life. Like, when, you know, it, to me, like, and I hear what you're saying, you know, you feel like a lot of times it's a distraction when you have too many jokes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But in life, you know, sometimes people are going through stuff, they need to laugh just mm-hmm. to stop themselves from crying. Mm-hmm. You know, again, to me, that's just good writing. That's good storytelling when you know how to just mix it up. Like, put a little bit of this when you're making a soup, put a little bit, dash mm-hmm. of this, dash of that, mm-hmm. as opposed to just one, blah, Zack Snyder, the cloud
cometh. That's in a perfect world. I also would love to see if there's any correlation to how movies are being made now with the whole renaissance of the AMC theaters. I'm not sure about everybody throughout the country, but on the East Coast, have you noticed that the theaters have been upping their game? It's not terrible sticky floors and rickety seats with, you know, suspicious.
Yeah, they're straight up like comfortable. Like you can go to sleep in your chair. Yeah.
And it's cheaper. Also, to get the, and you reserve it ahead of time, mm-hmm. you're reclining in these lazy boys, you're enjoying yourself a little bit more, so you're more inclined to like the movie. Bad jokes. To like that movie. So I wonder if that's getting put into the equation too. People are more likely to like these movies. They're flashier, they have a little bit more sass, a little bit lighter tone to it, and they're comfortable in the movie theater.
I can't argue you. I mean, ultimately, you know, but in taking that into like what we were talking about with the DC presentation at New York Comic Con, mm-hmm. Aquaman during the weekend also released their 5-minute trailer. And I got to be honest, I saw the trailer. It actually did get me a lot more excited mm-hmm. for the movie. Like it's, in my brain, I always say whenever I think DC, I'm setting myself up for disappointment. But so far what I saw, like it looks pretty good. Like, you know, I'm going to have to get used to the Arnold Schwarzenegger one-liner jokes from Jason Momoa, you know, like, yeah, why, that's cool.
Well, wait, you mean...
You make me wet.
Huh?
You mean Thor, right? You mean Thor?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You see, more so than anything, it's not that they're trying to make the movies, like, lighter or funnier, because, you know, I'm sure that's what people want in general, but it's also, like, you don't have Zack Snyder. Like, you know, Man of Steel had, like, some fundamental flaws, and Batman versus Superman, which is, like, a flat-out mess. It wasn't a mess because it was dark. It wasn't a mess because it was serious. It was a mess because, like, the villain's logic didn't make sense. There were plot holes. It was a drag. It went on way too long. The action wasn't exciting enough, except for that one warehouse scene with Batman. It just, the movie itself wasn't a good movie.
I agree.
Like, if you look at
Logan,
for example, like, it had, like, a couple of little jokes in there, but it was, like, a dark, depressing-ass movie. But we still all loved it. So, like, if we can love Logan, there's no reason why we can't love a dark DC movie. It just has to be executed
correctly.
Yeah, but you
know what? See, you said Logan was dark, but it wasn't gloomy. It was just like it had the whole black and like even like the noir. It had a tone, but mm-hmm. it wasn't just like a cloud of depression, which, you know, that this is a topic for another day. So let's
yeah, we'll get off topic.
Do we,
down, baby.
We actually have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name's Adam and I'm calling from California.
Nice, man. Hey. So what do you want to talk about tonight?
I want to talk about the Dragon Ball Broly movie.
Oh, baby, what's up, man?
Oh, we didn't even get into that yet, but I'm glad you're setting us up.
So what's got you excited about it?
I follow you guys on Instagram, man, and then I saw you guys' number. I was like, oh, let me try calling.
Yo, thank you for calling in.
So, just to let you know, and just let everyone know, at New York Comic Con, myself, AJ, Amber, and Bravo were at the Dragon Ball Super panel, and we actually saw the voice act. It was a wonderful moment. Just like I got like childhood chills just watching them on stage. Mm-hmm. Now, did you see the new trailer dropped
dude,
for it?
Like, I felt like. When they had, I think they had a panel for the San Diego Comic-Con too, and I was like, oh, because Broly is my favorite villain of all time.
Well, what makes him your favorite? What do you like about Broly so much? Because I can tell you what people like about him, but what do you like about him?
Oh, I can go full detail with that. Broly, he's unstoppable. The guy, like, he's super big, and he has no limits. Kind of like every Saiyan has a limit. I mean, Saiyans don't have limits, but in a way, Broly, like, he's different. Like, he's unstoppable. He's like Juggernaut, but, like, way better.
Mm. You see, like, the thing I love about Broly is exactly what you said. Like, he's the strong indestructible like force. He's just a reckoning.
Yeah.
But the one thing I didn't like about him was like his logic for being a villain. Oh, Goku made him cry when he was a baby. But the cool thing with this new one, they're completely throwing his original origin story
right,
out the window.
Right, exactly.
And they're writing it
well,
back.
Yeah, because Toriyama, he's the one that didn't write the original one. It was something else. And since Toriyama, he's coming back, he's rewriting the Broly story. It's going to be better.
Yeah, and if you give him like a legitimate like origin story, but you keep everything we love about Broly and you power him up to the level that he can actually level with like, you know, Super Saiyan God Goku and Vegeta and Ultra Instinct. Did you hear anything? And this is just like a general question. Did anyone hear anything about the rumors that Goku and Vegeta or somebody's going to fuse in the new movie?
Oh,
I did. I follow a couple of YouTubers that talk about theories and like stuff about the movie, and they were saying that supposedly, okay, this is how it's gonna work. Supposedly, that Gogeta, they're gonna come back, or Vegeta, whoever, they're gonna fight Broly for a bit, but then Goku is gonna stop Broly with the Ultra Instinct.
You see, I just want to see Ultra Instinct on the big screen with a Hollywood budget. That's all I want.
Wait,
that's all I need.
And let me tell you, and know what got me most hype about this? Like, when we were at the panel, this movie, I think about 50% of the movie is going to be a backstory. So you're going to get to know more about Goku's mother. You're going to learn more about Vegeta's parents and the whole thing. They're going to make it like three families. This whole movie is going to have to do with three families. And the trailer says three families, you know. And it's Broly's not just a bad guy who just wants to destroy, because he literally, they're going to make the story like he was done wrong, so his life, he's holding a grudge. Again, to me, if you want a good movie, give me a good villain. You know, a lot of the movies that have actually been very good, like Infinity War, Thanos was a good villain. So I think that they're setting us up for a good villain this time, not just like, oh, you hurt my feelings, Goku, you know. So, caller, thanks for calling in. So listen, when the movie drops, you got to call back in because we want to hear your opinion on it.
Okay.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
All right. So listen, and there's so many other aspects to talk about New York Comic Con. One thing I wanted to get into, and before we started recording, we talked to Babs a little bit about the cosplay culture. Now, my brother and I, when did we go? Was it 2013 or 14 when we first went, when we met Stan Lee?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
And I remember how it just wasn't as crowded. If like nerd culture was just starting to take off, and people, and if you did something slightly creative with your cosplays, you had paparazzi all around you. Now you could have the most spectacular cosplay. There's 20, 50, 100 other people that have spectacular cosplays. Babs, because you're kind of newer to the whole cosplay community, how did you feel being in cosplay at this convention?
Well, the big drawback was that if you were cosplaying and, you know, it was more than just a casual cosplay, you had to stick to cosplay-friendly areas. Excuse me. You knew the danger areas pretty quickly. I say danger areas because if you were trying to find your friend on one side of the con and you had to pass through that top part where the, what was that top part right?
Like near the cafeteria and everything?
Yeah, right there. That I called the danger zone because there was no way you were going to cross that. You had to like Frogger and elbow your way through and I'm short, so I just went behind someone tall and kept my head down and just sprinted.
But tell them why you did that as a cosplayer, because and when you're in cosplay, a lot of times people stop you every couple feet, right?
Mm-hmm. And I'm never saying that I don't like to stop. If you stop me and you say, hi, you know, can I get your picture? I almost feel like I say the same thing every time. I maybe sound like a robot. I go, absolutely, of course. And I strike my pose and you'll see I have a lot of the same pose sometimes just because that was, you know, 16 people in the span of 30 seconds.
Right.
So I will always stop. And I will always endeavor to have a positive interaction. But this New York Comic Con, usually Thursday and Sunday, you can count on those being late days. You can count on being able to go places.
This year.
You could not. especially with my Wasp wings, which I made I altered so that they could actually retract
down,
in.
Right.
Didn't matter. They were getting tossed around. I could hear them ripping.
Ooh.
It was so scary.
Yikes.
That
is
I just,
right.
It was some. It, you had to stick to places where you actually had some elbow room. And unfortunately, that meant I couldn't go to some of the places that I wanted to go, like the panels that I wanted to see.
Right.
But that made me appreciate every second. I didn't have a lot of service, so I was sticking with the people that were having a great time. I was networking. I was sticking close to that tunnel and just meeting a lot of people, working with a lot of different photographers, doing a lot of interviews, actually, which I'll talk to you about.
Yeah. And Noah, and I want to continue with you, Babs, but we do have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Adam and I'm calling from San Diego, California.
Man, this is Cali Day going on. So
I'm digging the love from the West Coast.
Yeah, seriously.
So what do you want to talk about today?
I was talking about the Dragon Ball Super movie, but I guess I got disconnected. So, I mean, I don't mind talking about cosplay.
Okay.
So what did you want to say about cosplay?
I feel like cosplay is a awesome way of expressing yourself, to like being, you know, not only yourself, but being, you know, in somebody else's, shoes in a way, like, it's kind of like, you know, stage acting, but it's like more of like towards the nerdiness of like stuff you like.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, cosplay is a great resource of like making new connections with like other people. And et cetera, et cetera.
Did you say your name was Adam?
Yes.
Adam, do you like to cosplay?
Yes, I do.
What do you like to cosplay? What characters?
I like to cosplay as superheroes, people from animes, Marvel, and
that's awesome. That is very cool.
So, Adam, listen, and she's about to go more into that, but I tell you, Adam, thank you for calling me. Guys, give it up for Adam. When we come out to San Diego, we will be looking for you and we will ask about you. And yeah, so, I mean, continuing with what you said, Babs, before, you know, one thing in just being my cosplay play being a black man with a bald head is like, okay, Luke Cage, I put on a yellow shirt, and it was, but still, like, I agree with you. When you walk, if you're stopping, like, we had all the nerds there, so I would be texting you guys, but the second you stand still, people are like, oh, hey, can I take a picture with you? And you never want to say no. Like, you never want to say no. I mean, unless you're rushing off somewhere, then sometimes you're like, I'm in a rush to go here. But to me, I kind of love that aspect of it. You know what I mean? And just like you said, I was there 3 out of the 4 days, but I always dedicate one day to not being in cosplay. You guys noticed on that last day, I put on regular clothes because I wanted to shop. I wanted to see the merchants, the display, because that's part of the thing is when you go to a Comic-Con, if you put on a cosplay, just expect you're on the stage right now. As long as you have that on, even if you're like, ooh, you see something you like, you just got to understand now it's kind of your responsibility. Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, it's courtesy to look at someone. I mean, I had a wonderful interaction with a couple people who said, you know, are you Babs Butcher? And I said, yes. It's still surreal to me. Yes, I am. How did you know that? And they were like, I've watched you since you started this cosplay day one. I've been following your progress. You know, do you remember, like, we interacted? I said, yes, now I remember. It's jogging my memory. Thank you so much. What am I going to say? I'm going to say, I'm sorry, but, you know, I don't really feel like it right now. No, that's not courteous.
But and
no,
I gotta tell you that actually watched, and I'm not, this, again, the cosplay community is all about love, unity, and everyone's cool. But there are a handful of cosplayers and people that do have that star status. There was actually a cosplayer I came across, and I told the person, I was like, yo, your cosplay is amazing. The person was like, yeah, like kind of rolled their eyes like, oh, like, I know. And I was like, oh, okay, well, nice meeting you too.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, you know, what happens is in this community, if you're not careful, obviously on social media, it's kind of a false reality. Like, yep. if I go to freaking ShopRite, they're not going to be like, oh my God, you're Cage Nerd, you're Luke Cage. You know, like, they don't care. They just want to get their bowl of cereal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, I mean, ultimately at these conventions, I think part of your responsibility, like we said earlier, is to really be open to your fans. You know what I mean? Because that's you're taking on that role. You know what I mean? And
it's a constant reminder to stay humble. And but anyway, as far as the con went, I would say one of the reasons why you're seeing an influx of cosplayers, one, because nerd culture is really popping. I think you see a lot of people who are trying their hand at it, and maybe they come and go. Maybe they're just, you know, people who are like, yeah, I'm going to try this, you know, I'm going to try a Thor cosplay, and then they go to New York Comic Con, they said, wow, that was a rush, never again. but you're seeing also bigger costumes being the trend.
Like, people working on these for years. Remember, we were, Babs and I were in, like, and Bravo, we were in the Marvel showcase where you just walk up on stage in your cosplay. We saw some amazing, like, the one guy who was, like, the Annie Monitor, and you had that large Venom, Carnage Venom or whatever with the smoke coming out. Like, like, how long did it take you to make that? Like, that, to me, is just, like, that person is just, that's your craft. Just like some people are artists, that is your craft,
and think about that. Foam builds are, if you look, especially on West Coast cons, those foam builds, you know, from Kingdom Hearts to, you know, you have things like Mass Effect builds, and you have the Transformers builds. Foam is so fun to work with. It's lightweight, and it's getting easier as tutorials are going out there. But that's also taking up a lot more space.
Yeah.
So maybe it's kind of... like, there might not be as many people cosplaying, but they're taking up a lot more space.
That's a good point. And that's a, Tara, we have another call in there, and I'm going to get back to that. But caller, are you there?
Yo, what's really good?
Yo, what is really good with you, man? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up, man? Hyped to be on the podcast. My name is Ryan, man, from Virginia.
Ryan from Virginia. What's going on, man? What you want to talk about?
Yeah, what you want to bring up tonight?
Hey, man, I'm here to talk about Dragon Ball Super Broly.
Oh, my dude, yo, what's up?
This is really popular tonight.
Yo, dude, how hype are you about the movie?
Last year, he's my guy. Dude, I'm ecstatic, man.
So now let me ask you a question, because like, the movie drops this January, like, obviously you're going to go to the theater and see it. Is this like, are you, did you watch the whole Dragon Ball Super series?
I'm up to date on all Dragon Ball Super movies, canon, fan, manga, everything, man.
Oh, so wait, you read the mangas? Superman. Okay, he's legit. This is legit.
Like, he knows his stuff. Okay, so I have to ask, obviously Broly's going to be like the highlight of this entire movie, but what are you hoping to see in this movie that they haven't done before? Because Dragon Ball's been on there since like the 80s. So like, what specifically would you like to see that has never been done?
I would like to see Goku actually truly lose and them to actually have a problem. But I'm a big fight scene guy. I'm trying to see that next level choreography. I screamed and yelled when I saw Broly punch Vegeta through the ice. He was like, he's learning at the fight.
Yeah, pretty good Vegeta. That's pretty good. And you know what? And I gotta be honest too. Like, I've always been more of a Vegeta fan than Goku, man. I like the fact that Vegeta, even though he keeps like losing, he don't stop and he's just fierce. You know, I want in this movie. Can you imagine if Vegeta's the hero? That would be kind of dope to me because it never happens.
Fire.
Yeah, but Toriyama would be shitting on Vegeta, man. If you look at every Dragon Ball Z movie, Vegeta has like showed up for like 0.3 seconds and got worked. So I don't see that happening.
but you know what you said, the movies, or most of the movies that went out that were not Toriyama. That's why this is like a wonderful, awesome occasion, because this is actually Toriyama, you know. And so with him, I'm wondering if he's going to flip the script a little bit, which, I mean, like you say, you expect Goku to come out on top, but come on, give me something a little different, you know what I mean? But, oh man, look.
Dragon. That is true. What if they try to tie in Vegeta's success with like his lineage? Like, Vegeta, he's like,
pure blood.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the actual prince. Like, what if, yeah, like, what if that has something to do with him being a hero? That would be cool.
That'd be great, man. Listen, so let me ask you, when the movie comes out, will you call in, man? Because right now, because you're a super fan, when it drops in January, I want you to call into the show, and you're going to give us your full review. Is that cool?
Dude, I would do that, man. I'd be listening to y'all podcast while I'm at work, son. I caught up. I missed like 4 or 5 weeks. I listened to them like 3 days in a row, son.
Yo, you are the man. Thank you, man. Give it up, man. Give it up. Thank you for calling in. Man, all right, so...
Hey, I'm the dude who commented on the Instagram post.
Oh, yeah, I saw your comment, man. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yep, that's what's up.
Yeah, man, y'all have a good one.
You too.
You too, brother. All right, so much more to get into at New York Comic Con. We talked about the panels. We really didn't get into the gaming aspect. And so let me talk to, because I know that we got our gaming nerds right here. Yeah. So give me a little something.
AJ is going to take the floor with his Kingdom Hearts talk. It's all over the place, everywhere. But my game of show was Resident Evil 2 remake. So if anything, the main video game company that had a big show at New York Comic Con was Capcom. Yeah, Namco had one with a couple of their anime fighting games like Jump Force, and I know Soul Calibur was a big presence as well. But
Capcom had like, what was it, 3 or 4
they
big
had,
ones?
Four major games. So they had 2 games that just came out, which was Mega Man 11 and the Capcom Beat 'em Up bundle, which is more repackagings. Then you had Devil May Cry, which got a high showing just for its action RPG. But if you wanted an experience while you were playing video games at New York Comic Con, if you got a chance to play the demo for Resident Evil 2, it was amazing. Like, it was terrifying. I'm not a horror game aficionado by any means, but I love the Resident Evil series, especially Part 4, just because it blended like action with that scary notion. But Resident Evil 2 was so intense walking in. First off, you have the inside of the actual Raccoon City Police Department all done up. There's like zombie bodies all over the place. There's blood all over. Just the stylistic design that they went with the booth was amazing itself. Every demo station was a police desk, if you will, that you were playing on. And you got about a half hour of gameplay. And it was so intense. Like, it was so, like, quiet, I think. And that's with games like Resident Evil, once it gets quiet,
you get scared as hell.
You get terrified. Like, you don't know where that zombie's coming from. You can see a zombie right in front of you. As soon as it pops up, you're jumping. Mm-hmm. Because they also had these audio headphones, these high-quality, what they call Astros. And it made the sound so much more immersive, where it felt like you had to turn around. You had to turn around to find out if something was behind you or not, even though you're staring directly at a screen.
Because, like, you can hear someone, like, walking behind you in those headphones.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's 3D audio, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. There's a guy from my high school who's in that business. It's huge. It makes sound a character in the movie or the video game that you're playing.
Wait, so is this like an Oculus thing where you, or is it just
it was just more an experience where, kind of like how we are right now. Like, imagine these headphones here were the Astros. So you would put them on and you're talking, you're just playing the game in general. But as you're playing, like, this is the screen, I'm playing the game. But all of a sudden, as I'm playing the game, I could just hear sounds everywhere. And I just have to look over my shoulder to figure out if there's a zombie nearby or like there's a music cue. That's the thing about Resident Evil. Cool. They've always been good with music cues when something's about to come up. Just like with any good movie.
Yeah.
Just the fact that there's a sound effect that's right around the corner and something about to pop up and kill your ass if you have to.
So what you're saying is that they set the mood. Like, and the other thing is, like, I didn't get a chance to play Resident Evil 2. Like, that's probably my biggest regret of New York Comic Con. But you kind of have to go into, like, a secluded area. It wasn't like you're playing the game and you're surrounded by, like, a dozen people.
Right.
Like, you're in a room with only, like, the 10 or so other people playing the game.
Yep,
so exactly. That kind of made it, like, a little bit more isolated, a little bit more special. So, like, you know, once again, I didn't play it, but I wish I did. Like, number one regret of New York Comic Con.
So give us a little about your Kingdom Hearts, because there's a lot of Kingdom Hearts fans in the chat. So break it down for us, AJ.
So the thing with Kingdom Hearts at New York Comic Con, it was so popular, and they knew they were going to be so popular, that unless you got a ticket first thing in the morning, you would not get a chance to play the game. You walk up to the booth, get a ticket, and come back during the time that the ticket says to play the game. They ran out of tickets in 10 minutes day one, and 5 minutes or less every other day. So
yep.
Like, you literally have to be like the first person mm-hmm. there and like wake up at the ass crack of dawn to get there in order to play the game. Luckily, we had press passes, so I managed to get inside a little bit sooner, and I managed to get a ticket day one.
Thank you, Reed Pop.
Thank you, Reed Pop.
Bless you. Bless you. But the main thing with Kingdom Hearts is that it's been years since we've been waiting for a conclusion to the series for like for like over.
Wait, is this the conclusion?
It's the conclusion of the Xehanort storyline. So like there may be other Kingdom Hearts games after this that involve Sora and like Riku and the gang, but like the main villain from Kingdom Hearts 1 has kind of been the villain throughout the entire series thus far. So that's the end of this saga. So in a way, like, I played Kingdom Hearts 1 back when it first came out. I think it was like 2002 or something like that. So for me, that means I've been playing it since I was like 11 or something like that. So it's a part of my childhood. So Kingdom Hearts 3 is a conclusion to that. And it's doing so in a way that's on the most up-to-date technology, in a way that's fast and fluid. It looks beautiful, runs great. And it's just like a natural progression of everything that's come before. Now, granted, there aren't a whole lot of story details in the game. They're trying to keep that under wraps, which I like. I don't need spoilers that much. but the 15 minutes I played of Kingdom Hearts 3 like leads me to believe, like, unless they drop the ball with the story from a gameplay standpoint, it just seems very solid. Now, to be fair, 15 minutes is a whole lot of time, and this game in particular is an RPG. So how they balance the game, the pacing, and things like that, that's kind of hard to judge in that brief period of time.
Yeah.
But from a combat perspective alone, and the graphics, and like how fluid everything is, I'm really excited for it.
In the chat, that boy Kiguro said, I was in fourth grade when Kingdom Hearts came out. So people have been waiting since they were like damn near children. Yeah. Like, you know,
2002 was the I think it was the original game, and then you just had kind of like the stopgap from like 2010. And then now you're 2019 when the actual game actually drops.
And so
it's intense.
And do we have another caller, right? Caller, are you there?
Hello?
What's going on?
I'm here.
What's your name, man, and where are you calling from?
My name is Andre. I'm calling from the Bronx.
The Bronx?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, because I saw y'all at New York Comic Con. I just didn't get a chance to say anything.
Oh, bummer, man. Dude, I would have like given you like a high five.
And, yeah,
like,
man, we would.
So who did you see specifically? Did you see the Colossus, or did you see that ball black Luke Cage effer?
Or that skinny like Luke Larry Cage?
Yo, listen, man, whenever you go ahead.
I saw the bald Luke Cage.
So whenever you see like me or anybody, just come on up, man, because we always just love talking to y'all, man. But let me ask you a question, because I'm glad you called in, because I wanted to talk to someone that was at New York Comic Con. What was the breakdown of your experience there?
It wasn't really my experience, because I went with my brother. That was his first time at Comic Con. I've been going for the past 6 years. But my personal experience is always going there, check the panels, buy some merchandise, you know, look, check out people's cosplays, eat some delicious ass food, and just, you know, enjoy the overall atmosphere of fandom that, you know, people have the same interests as you.
I mean, and that's when, were you there all the days, or were you there just one or two days?
I was only there for Friday and Saturday.
So when you were there, I mean, because a lot of times you got to make a game plan. Like, did you want to see the panels? Were you looking at the cosplay? Were you doing all the merch? Like, what was your main experience when you were at New York Comic Con?
So Friday, I got there kind of late, so I only had an hour to scour the whole place with my brother. So
oof.
It was just pretty much scour merchandise as much as we can get within that hour. So we had walked away with some, we walked away with some choice stuff. But on Saturday, our game plan was to sit outside in the foyer, you know, look at all the different cosplays and get ideas for our next convention to visit. Like I said, we ate and we went inside. He went and bought some artwork from Artist Alley. And then, you know, we went our separate ways because I wanted to go catch some autographs. I wanted to catch Jason David Frank, but that line was just ridiculous.
Ridiculous, yeah, yeah.
So it was maddening. But I went upstairs. I went upstairs to get some limited edition Funko Pops. And other than that, I just relaxed the whole rest of the day. I just let him experience, because he always wanted to go to Comic Con. And the crazy part about it is, when I started, he had left to go to Sweden.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
That sounds so sweet. That's so wonderful as a big brother to share that experience. And it sounds like you had the perfect experience. I am jealous of your experience.
Yeah, like I'm not even going to lie. As soon as I got to Comic-Con day one, I left everyone and I went straight to Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
So you're a better person than me.
No, seriously.
Good for you.
No, shout out to you because like I understand a lot of times when you go, like I've been to Disney World many times, but when you go with someone who hasn't been before, it's almost like you're going for the first time. So I get that experience is what you're saying, man. So like straight up props to you for that.
Yeah,
thank you.
And so, look,
I just wanted to make sure you got the most out of it.
Guys, give it up for this call. I mean, that was a great call, man.
That was awesome.
And listen, next time you see us, just make sure you come up and say what's up to us. We got another caller?
Thanks, Andre.
Yo, Andre, thank you so much, man. Thank you, Andre, for calling in.
Our phones are off the hook tonight. We have another caller. Caller, are you there?
Caller?
Going 10, 9, 8.
Seven,
one,
six,
all right, and
one.
He's done.
Ouch.
It was probably somebody saw like a 4-year-old song, and I'm like, oh, I'm on, I gotta go. All right, and here he is.
Jorge's here.
And Jorge is here, the man of the hour. So,
going on?
Jorge, I'm gonna give you the microphone, the videography work.
The video microphone.
All right, so we talked about the cosplay and stuff like that. Another aspect of the con, we were talking about the gaming. What didn't we actually hit on yet? I mean, there was, because when you go to New York
Trailers?
Yes.
Oh, announcements in general. I mean, I know we definitely kind of got into it with like the trailers for Aquaman as being one thing, but all the footage that were able to see, especially if you got to any of the panels, just the fact that there was so much footage you can watch. I know, AJ, you mentioned that like two of the big things that you saw, you said you were at the Runaways panel?
I was at the Runaways panel, and they showed the first episode of the new season, which is really cool because that doesn't even come out to the end of December.
Right.
So I got an extra, extra sneak peek. And I know like as a whole, the partners weren't a huge fan of the Runaways, but I fucked with it heavy. So seeing that was like a real treat to me. I got to like, you know, see the cast up. There were people in the audience asking them questions. That was really cool. I saw the first episode of the Skies of Arcadia, like the Del Toro TV show that's coming to Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the first episode of that. And I was like, this close to Del Toro, I could almost taste him. I was like,
wait, so he was there? So, wait, he was there?
That was cool.
Was there.
My goodness.
They brought out a cake and sang him happy birthday because his birthday was like 2 days after that day or something like that. So, like, that was nice. And then, Jerv and I, when we went to see the Into the Spideyverse panel, like, the movie's not done yet. It comes out like the end of November.
It comes out Christmas weekend.
Oh, Christmas. Well,
which is nuts.
That's even further. Like, damn. But they showed off the first 35 minutes of that movie. Now, let me tell you, the trailers look dope. I was hyped that, you know, Phil Lord and Chris Miller were like writing or directing it or producing it in general. Because like they also people who did Clone High, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. They did a bunch of like stuff that I personally loved. The Lego movie.
Yeah.
They do real good animated stuff. So like between the cast and how they were going about it, and the trailers all look phenomenal. When you actually see it in person, it just flows so well. Like everything that looks cool in the trailer is even cooler in the movie.
Yo, what's up with the animation? Looks so unique. It almost looks like paper cut out, but it is so like it's so smooth. Like what's going on with the like the animation for this movie?
Like it's some type of CG. Like in some of the scenes, because it was the first 35 minutes, like literally the CG wasn't even done yet. But the thing that really stood out to me, it wasn't just special effects for the sake of having special effects. They actually used the pop outs and the comic book like special effects to convey emotion and propel the story forward in ways that wouldn't be able in a live action context. So visually, it's going to be great. The story is great. It's legitimately funny. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, this is probably going to be like one of the best movies of the year.
Ooh.
Like I might even enjoy it at the end of the day more than Infinity
Oh,
Wars.
I got AJ.
I might like it more.
I got a question for you about that. But before we got another caller, and this is going to be our last caller of the night. Caller, are you there? No, they're going again. Yo, we got some mysterious call. But here's my question to you, AJ. Do you think Into the Spider-Verse is going to do better than Shazam and Aquaman? Which movie out of these movies coming out do you think is going to do the best in the box office?
See, like, Shazam, I think, when does that come out? Like, February or something like that? Or
Shazam, hold on, I'm going to pull up the release dates. Shazam, I know, is next year, I believe. But Aquaman and Spider-Verse are both currently set for Christmas weekend.
Yeah, I think it's like maybe like a week delay. So I think the main thing with that will be word of mouth. I feel like, you know, first of all, Spider-Man is way bigger than Aquaman off the rip. Like, he's just like a bigger property overall. And if And also, this movie is going to be advertised on Cartoon Network all the time. It's going to be advertised on Nickelodeon. It's going to attract, like, the younger crowd.
But is it going to pull in, like, Pixar numbers? Think about, like, the big movies like the Shreks or the Toy Stories. They do ginormous numbers. Into the Spider-Verse, like, we've never really had a superhero animated movie that did huge numbers. You know, I mean, you had the releases of La, the DC movies that were good, but they weren't necessarily blockbuster hits. Will this movie be the first Marvel movie? Like, will Marvel be like, look, not only are we kicking y'all ass in live action movies, but we're kicking y'all ass in animated movies. Will this be the beginning of this?
So let me put it this way. I feel like this is definitely going to be more successful than Teen Titans Go to the Movies by a wide margin. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it beats Aquaman, it depends on word of mouth. If, like, you know, they get a lot of early reviews and there's a lot of, like, overall hype for Aquaman and it's getting, like, critical appraise across the board to the point that people who were kind of on the fence are like, okay, now I have to go see it, then Aquaman will do better.
But you're kind of skating on me. Which one's going to do better?
I feel like Spider-Man's going to be the better movie. Which one does more better financially?
Yes.
I don't know. I want to say Aquaman, but I hope it's...
depends on how it plays internationally, because...
True.
The bulk of the money, it's not typically just... It's not U.S.
Domestic.
It's all of the countries in the Asian continent.
Yeah, Asia and Europe are usually the biggest... Mm-hmm. Like, specifically any Asia country, like specifically China or Japan, and then the United Kingdom itself.
Korea. If Aquaman appeals more to those audiences, then that's what's going to make the money.
Yeah.
But if they're more into the cartoon, then we're going to see that.
Into the Spider-Verse does have, like, an Asian Spider-Man in that. Like, I forget her name. What was her name? Goodness. Because they have, like,
Penny Parker is her
Penny,
name.
They have Penny Parker. They have Spider-Gwen.
Is she related to Peter Parker?
It's
an alternate timeline.
Universe. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, Penny Parker, Miles Morales, Peter Parker.
Spider-Gwen. They have Spider-Ham.
They have Spider-Ham.
People, like, I remember growing up, I remember as a kid seeing Spider-Ham comics, because there used to be a series of comics called What If. Do you guys remember the What If series, or am I being super nerdy right now?
I don't know.
A little bit.
They had a series of Marvel comics called What If, and that's where I think Spider-Ham came out then, because they were like, what if Spider-Man was this pig? And then ever since then, he just took off. Spider-Ham was like a huge thing. So, I mean, dude, look.
Well, think about this. It's going to be voice actors, and that'll play better.
True. Like, right? if it's an animated movie, you could have, like, Japanese voice actors in Japan. Like, you know.
And you can get bigger names, too, because it doesn't have to sound exactly like that, Aquaman gruff Jason Momoa. It can be just the best actors.
It gives them more flexibility.
I'm gonna vote for the Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, like... there's no doubt in my mind that Into the Spider-Verse is going to be the more unique movie, and that I will probably like it more because of that. But I feel like internationally, DC still has a pretty good foothold. I'm going to go with Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
Does anyone want to take bets on this? Anyone?
What's the bet?
You know what? Jerv's already gloating that I owe him. I lost him for something. I owe him rum and like $20. Damn bastard.
Yeah, where's this rum and $20?
I don't know, but he's not here, so he defaulted the payment. So no, I'm gonna hook him up for that. But I mean, I'll take the bet. I honestly think that Aquaman, just by, first of all, me and Devin met Jason Momoa, and I'm not a small guy. Like, roundabout, I'm like about 6 foot. He made me feel like fucking Gary Coleman. I felt like the littlest of black men. It was ridiculous, and it's just like, no, he's a big dude, and I've met, like, you know, we're friends with Mojo. Mojo's, he's like Mojo level big.
In that same picture, why did Devin look like a disgruntled bodyguard?
No, but there's a laugh in his eye. Like, those who know Devin, they can see the laughter in his eyes, like, in that scary look. Yeah. But by the way, you know what I'm so disappointed in? They do this over and over, and I never get to get any inside information. Mark Ruffalo and Adam Savage both disguise themselves on the floor in cosplay.
Yes, they
and
did.
Then reveal
yes,
themselves.
They did.
I know. I saw that too.
And he was with Jason Momoa.
Yep. Yeah. He went in one picture. He had the. He looked like he was the guy from that Gravity Falls. I think he had that cosplay on, just like the mask.
Did, yeah.
Real
quick, I just wanted to kind of touch, like, just to clean up some stats. Spider-Verse comes out December 14th. Aquaman's the 21st. So they actually changed it. They are a week apart. The bet, I actually got this log. You thought James Gunn was coming back to Marvel. That was the bet. But he's not now because he's now with DC.
Yo, bless him. Bless the James Gunn. Like, yo, bless you, Taco Bell. Don't let the haters keep you down, James Gunn. I'm still with you.
Yeah, right?
Yo, it's all good. It's all good in the hood.
Are you his hashtag campaigner?
Yo, he's his hype man.
I fuck with James Gunn so heavy. He made a mistake.
And he fucks with the little ones. Womp, 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 womp.
Listen.
Stop
How
it.
To kill a conversation.
James Gunn
no, he doesn't.
Made a mistake. He apologized for said mistake years ago, and then he proved through his actions that he legitimately meant his apologies and became a better person. And now, years down the line, this one political figure wants to drag up his past that he already atoned for and use that to tarnish his good name.
Wow,
like, if you're a bad person and you improve yourself, then you're a good person.
Wait, in Mark
Keep
Ruffalo
James
fashion,
alive.
AJ pulls off his mask. It's actually James.
It is him. It is him all along. It was you.
Are you in cosplay right now?
Yo, I love James Gunn. Leave him alone.
And by the way, one more thing I want to say about the con. We got so many toys, boxes, and stuff like that, that every week, like for the rest of the year, and we're probably going to make this a weekly thing, we're going to start giving away stuff that we actually got there. So I actually got this New York Comic Con Nebula Pop, number 203, and we actually put a thing on our social media saying whoever reposted this, you know, we were going to randomly pick someone to win it. So we do got a winner.
Yep, and the winner is Instagram handle Comic Book Vault.
Yay!
So we'll reach out to you. You reach out to us, and we can get this all scheduled so we can send you this Funko Pop.
We will send you this pop, and we got bigger. We got better gifts coming too because we got so much stuff at New York Comic Con. And again, we also wanted to shout out and thank you to Reed Pop who gave us the press passes because it was an awesome experience. You know, just being there this year was awesome. Next year, you know, we're going to be doing so many different cons, so many things, but nothing really compares to the energy and the feel of New York Comic Con.
Over 200,000 people over a 4-day span. It's just nuts. Like, just a mass amount of people. And the best part about it, a super, super huge crowd, no incidents. Like, not, at least none that we know of. But everybody was so nice, friendly. Nobody did anything overtly mean.
Peace and love.
It was peace and love.
And I think that goes back to what Babs was saying earlier. I think right now, one great thing about the nerd community, we kind of weed out the bad. Like, if you're someone who in time you start to get a bad reputation, like there were some cosplayers and people that were negative.
Momo-kun, I'm sorry.
But here's the thing with her. Like, she's very polarizing. Like, she's not the example I'm thinking of. There's some that really have bad stigmas with them, you know. You know, she's someone who's just very out there with her sexuality, and she's done some things, but she's also apologized for some things. So then the question
she was made an example of, and she apologized for her actions. Some people don't accept that apology, but the bottom line is that people are seeing those mistakes. They're seeing that they are going to be put on blast, and if we're going to take anything from the overwhelmingly positive experience that we saw, and we're a big group, we were on all the different corners of that of those floors.
Yep.
We can take away from that people might be learning their lesson, or at least they know that they need to be on good behavior and they need to have positive interactions.
That's true. Very true. And one thing, Jorge, let me pass the mic to you. So, Jorge, we did a cosplay cruise, CEG cruise. Dog, it was amazing, man. So to talk to us a little about that.
Well, basically, it was basically our first cruise that we actually kind of promoted. You know, we brought everybody. We had a lot of fun. We actually have all the interviews and all the bloopers on our YouTube page, which
you guys check out. Definitely check out our YouTube page.
It's so good.
I mean, first of all, you see Babs breaking it down. She's like knocking out them Patron fueled dance moves.
I actually honestly, I wasn't that. I think I had two drinks that whole day, two vodka sodas, and then just water. That's me sober, you guys.
Uh oh, we don't drunk Babs dancing. We're not ready for that. But no, like, honestly, first of all, you know, shout out to Kristen Huey because she's a sweetheart. Me and her have been friends for years. She set this up. So, you know, I talked with the owner of the company, and Ming Chen was someone. He's just a great dude.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're both so great.
Ming, and if you're watching, you're a good dude. And he's someone else who, if you guys ever are in the North Jersey area, New York, and if you have a podcast, talk to Ming because he has his own thing going on with the podcast. So, I mean, one thing, like, we're definitely looking forward to New York Comic Con again next year.
Yeah, New York Comic Con is big. Like, I'm like, after the experience of New York Comic Con, just being able to report on it and meet amazing people, celebrities, cosplayers, just fans alike, just being able to kind of take that experience to go elsewhere. I already know next year I have plans. I want to go to, like, PAX East, for example. Mm-hmm. C2E2 is a plan of mine. I know I'm trying to see if I can get.
Go I'll be Emerald City.
I don't know about Seattle, but when I'm
wait,
Seattle.
When is C2E2? I think C2E2, I'm going to go there with you.
C2E2 is March 22nd through the 24th in downtown Chicago, Illinois. It is a repop-based convention. That's one of the, like, they have four main pillars. You have New York, the most recent Keystone, which they just did this year, Emerald City, which is based out of Seattle, and C2E2 in Chicago.
So it's going to be awesome. Guys, we're out of time, guys. Give it up, party nerds. And again, Wildfire's new studio is awesome, but yep. We will be seeing you guys really soon. We got a lot of fun projects and stuff coming up. So
oh, yeah.
See ya.
Later. Bye.